Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great truth of the scriptures that you have come to seek and to save that which is lost. We confess that outside of a relationship with you, we are lost. But we thank you that through your Spirit, working in the Word and in the Sacrament, we have been made yours. Now grant that we may walk as your children. We ask your blessing to rest upon Sierra. Grant, O God, that she may continually be showered with your mercy and your grace, and that she may each day begin to appreciate that love that you have shown for her. Be with her parents, the sponsors, the grandparents. We know, O Lord, we have tremendous responsibility when we bring these little ones to the font. We know that it doesn't end there. We know that this is the beginning. Grant, O God, that we may be your under-shepherds in bringing these little lambs to maturity in Jesus Christ. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, when we look at the sunset at evening, notice the sunrise in the morning, it is not difficult to say, I believe in God. That is not a statement of faith. That is purely rational. Someone behind that sunrise and that sunset had to create it. To say that it just came into being is absolutely ridiculous. But when someone tells you, as the Word of God does, that the Creator of the universe knows me personally, I have to stop and think just a little bit. Billions of people have walked on the planet Earth. Does that really mean that God knows me? That's mind-boggling. George Beverly Shea, in a gospel hymn, has said it so well. There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. And he does love us, people. And because he loves us, he knows us. He knows us in a very personal way, and that is what the Bible is telling us. For example, if you go back to the 43rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, you have this tremendous verse. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine. It is that statement, I have called you by name, that causes me really to wonder. And that's from a human point of view. For during the course of the years, I have lost contact, evidently, with many people in our congregation. I know your faces, I know your names, but I often cannot put your face and your name together. As I said to you before, the hardest part of my morning, the part that really does me in, is standing at that door and somebody coming by and I can't say, "Hi, Pete." You know, if I had a few minutes to let it register, then I could give you the name, but I can't always do it. And what's worse is if I know Henry, who comes just before Pete, and I say, "Good morning, Henry." And then Pete comes by, And he says, well, he didn't know my name. I wonder if he doesn't think as much of me as he did of the fellow in front of me. And I get all kinds of hallucinations. It takes me a little while to unwind that horrible thing of ever overlooking somebody. Now, what difference does it make if Homer Larson can call you by a name or not? It isn't worth that much. It's not your problem, it's my problem. But then I stop and think of all the billions of people who have walked on the face of this earth, and God is able to call us by name. Sierra, you're mine. He calls us by our name. What is the prophet trying to say? He is saying this, that God knows us, and he knows us in a very personal way. Jesus Christ spoke the very same words when he said to a group of people one day, take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, I'm sure that Jesus was not trying to teach that God has an accounting process in heaven whereby he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He is using words. It's a verbal picture to show us that God wants to, and as far as he is concerned, does, live in a personal relationship with us. Now today, in this marvelous text from the 15th chapter of St. Luke, we see Jesus once again talking about the wonder of it all. The wonder that God knows me, that he knows you. The Pharisees had brought their complaint to Jesus. The complaint was that he had eaten with a sinner. And that was a no-no as far as they were concerned. You simply didn't do it. So Jesus sat down and said, let me tell you a story. Once there was a shepherd. He had 100 sheep. And when he counted them, there were only 99 there. So he left the 99 sheep and went to seek the one that was lost. When he had found the one that was lost, he put it on his shoulder and took him back home. And it says there was rejoicing over in heaven over that one that was lost. Jesus not only knows me, he loves me. And he comes after me when I stray away from him. This was too much for the Pharisees to comprehend, and often it is too much for us to comprehend, that God is so concerned about us, that he loves us so much, that when we stray away, when we are lost, he comes after us. Now you notice the text today. The text talks about the lost. L-O-S-T. We don't hear too much about the lost in mainline Protestantism today. Supposedly, we're all in the flock. And ultimately, we're all going to be in heaven. If for no other reason, our baptism. That is not what the Word of God teaches, friend. It was a thrill for me this morning to baptize this little baby. It was a thrill for me to look into the eyes of those parents and those sponsors. That is the beginning, as we understand the scriptures. That is the beginning of a covenant relationship with God. But God have mercy on us if we as a church say that now it is all over. Those young parents and those sponsors and the grandma and the grandpa have a tremendous responsibility when they go home. The responsibility is to introduce Sierra to the Lord Jesus Christ, that she might walk with him forever. Yes, I believe as a Lutheran Christian in infant baptism, but I believe that it is the beginning of the covenant relationship. It is not the end. And I get sick and tired of a church always pointing me back to my baptism. Why don't they point me back to a living, personal, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ? When I talk about my marriage, I don't say, well, back in 1900 or whenever it was, ask my wife. 1947, 1947. I was married. How's married life? Married life is just fine. We had a great wedding reception. You did. Tell me a little bit more about married life. This is what we did on our honeymoon. And I could never get beyond that. Married life is what's happening to me today. Life with Jesus Christ is what is happening to me today. I do not in any way sense that I am belittling the sacrament. It is all important. My marriage ceremony was important. My vows were important. But it's a daily relationship with Jesus Christ that counts. That's biblical, people. Now, you probably say, why is he getting so worked up about that? I believe it. Because this is not always being taught today in our beloved church. Not at all. Read through some of the liturgy. The continual reference to the baptism. The emphasis on the continual relationship to Jesus Christ is what is important. So, the person who then has separated himself or herself from God is the person who is lost. Now, who are these lost? I would put them in three categories this morning. The first group are those who have never had a living faith in Jesus Christ. They don't know him. They've never heard of him. They've never believed in him. I talked to the man this week. He said, I ride by your church. I sure would like to come and look at the building. I said, come on, come over on a Sunday morning. Come to church with us. Oh, no, he said, I'm not into that religion at all. Then he began to tell me that his father and mother were very much opposed to the church. That man has never been in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is a historical figure in the religious area for him, and that's all that he is. That man is separated from God, he is lost. I was looking at a man who was lost. I tried to tell him about Christ. He wasn't interested. He's lost. Second group of people are those who one time believed in Jesus Christ, but something happened, and they've walked away. Now, the interesting thing is that they sit in church occasionally, or sometimes more than occasionally, but they have walked away. Let's go back to the sheep for a minute. How do you think that sheep got lost? Do you think he got up on a particular morning, and now we're going to let the animals reason a little bit, just follow along, use your imagination, and that sheep said, man, I'm sick and tired of living in this fold. The grass here is worn, there isn't enough to eat. But look over there. Look at that grass. Look at that pasture. I'm going over there. So he began to nibble. He nibbled at home, he nibbled. He got farther and farther away from the shepherd. And finally he crossed the fence and he got over into the next pasture. He nibbled and nibbled and nibbled, and night came and he kept right on going. And a few days later he looked around and he was in the wilderness. He had nibbled his way out of the pasture, out of the fold, out of a relationship with a shepherd. I propose to you people that that is a way that many people who once trusted in Jesus Christ leave their relationship of a personal nature with the Savior. We nibble our way right away from him. Let me illustrate that. Mary is a woman who once was a great believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was raised in a Christian home. Her father and mother introduced her to Jesus Christ. She was enrolled in the Sunday school, and she sat there and sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, and Christmas Eve came, and Grandma and Grandpa came to hear the Christmas program, and how happy they were to see their little granddaughter stand up there and give a verse talking about the Savior's birth. And she grew up. She grew up in the church. She was always around the church. And she came to confirmation class, and she was instructed in the way of salvation. There was no question. She wrote 100% examination. She knew. And then came that confirmation Sunday. And she stood here in front of the whole congregation, and she gave her confirmation verse from Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Grandma and Grandpa had come back again, and they said, isn't it marvelous to see how she's grown in her faith? We're so thankful to God. Mary is a good little girl. and she comes to the youth meetings, and she goes to Young Life, and she goes to all of these good things, and she's dead. Good Friday comes along, or Easter Sunday morning, and at one of the youth services, she tells what Jesus Christ means to her. So far, so good. But now, Mary has come to that time in her life, a very, very scary time, when she's got to begin to make this her own. Are these truths really true? Is it really right that Jesus Christ died for my sin? Is it really true that through him I can belong to the Lord forever? What about all the rest of these people who don't believe? And then come the absolute. She hasn't denied it. She's just nibbling. Nibbling just a little bit further away from God. The absolutes. Well, the church has been red and arrow. The church has said, thou shalt not on some of the absolutes. But the sociologists and the psychologists have done so much research. And could it be possible that there are new insights into how human behavior actually operates? The church is too narrow. Now we can't accept those absolutes. Rather, we have to deal with what is now called an alternate lifestyle. That makes you educated. Now you're not stuffy anymore. What's happening to Mary? Nibbling herself away. She's away from home now. Sunday morning, isn't it interesting? Mother doesn't say, come on, Mary, time to go. Freedom. I can sleep in. You want to see some of those kids? Walk through the dormitories at you and I. Walk through the dormitories at some of our church colleges. Where did they come from? Many of them came from good church homes. But they're away. They're nibbling just a little bit further. How good it is to sleep in. I picked up Shula the last 20 minutes. I'll write that in the letter to Dad and Mom. That'll impress them. Nothing wrong with Shula, I don't mean that. Bible reading. Yes, sir, we used to read it every day. But with all these assignments, can't get it done. So that goes by the wayside. Well, the years go by, and Mary, like most young women, is anxious to be a homemaker and a mother, and she meets this young man, handsome, personality plus, intelligent, destined to become, quote, a success. The romance develops into a marriage, and so they have the marriage. Man, is this a big one. Not only grandma and grandpa came back, all the uncles and the aunts. They're having a marvelous time. A marvelous time. She's married. But the problem was the man she married had no commitment to Jesus Christ at all. None. Handsome, intelligent, good personality, destined for success, materially speaking, but no relationship with Jesus Christ. The children come. Now we're going to have them baptized, of course. And so the baptismal day comes. And they are sent home to introduce that child to Jesus. But there's little introduction. Oh, there may be a plaque over the crib. But there's no time for praying for and with that little girl. We'll pick it up at 3 years of age when they start Sunday school. Quite different from the way that Mary was raised. And then one day, the trials come. And Mary says, where am I? Where am I? I believe in God. I see the sunset. I see the sunrise. I believe in God, but where is he? Of course. call the preacher. Where is this God? Where is this God who would do this to me? My husband got into a terrible wreck. Now what's going to happen? Don't tell me there's a God of love. All of this is thrown at you. You begin to realize that here is Mary, lost. In the church, lost. No personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She nibbled her way, just right away from her Father in heaven. She was operating on her own strength. And if not her strength, the strength of that husband and the strength of her family. We'll do it. We don't need God. In the wilderness, lost. If this rings a bell for any of you today, the text speaks to you. Your church membership does not mean that you are saved. Only a personal relationship to Jesus Christ saves you. You're lost. There's a third type of lostness. Here I find myself more times than I like. It's a lostness that is experienced by many of us who have not wandered from the pasture, but we are certainly up against the fence. What happened to us? Our days got busy. Our weeks got full. There was business to take care of. There was entertainment to go to. There was work. There was socializing. And all the rest of that. And I have nibbled myself almost away from the Lord. The days go by. And this person doesn't open up the scriptures to read it. You say, but that doesn't happen to you, preacher. No, I open my Bible every day. Do you know what I open it for? Now, this is confession time, because I want to identify with you. I don't want to preach to you. I'm right with you. We're in this together. I can take this text. I can even take my Greek New Testament or my Hebrew Bible and begin to do some exegeting. The preacher's problem is he needs to take some time just to let that word of God fill his own soul. That's different. And I find myself again and again saying, well, I'm very busy. Oh, yeah, I studied the text. I've been in that word of God for 4 hours this morning. That ought to be good enough, hadn't it? That's my work. Well, I don't want to bore you with myself anymore, but some of you probably know what it is. Have you spent all week and you didn't open up your Bible once? Nibbling away. Just nibbling away from the Savior. Then obviously I imagine that there was no serious prayer life. And then maybe it's this idea that we're at the Lord's Day. I simply am amazed. Sure, our church was overflowing at the first service. I think that's partly because many of our good people get up, go to church, they want to go to Bible class. Whatever the reason, I don't know. It's always much larger at 8:30. But these empty seats, they disturb me. Somebody says, is that your ego? No, that's not my ego. These are people who have said, we don't need the Lord. We've got nearly 4,000 people in this congregation. And we sing the doxology if we get 2,000 of them out to go to church. Nibbling, nibbling, nibbling away until finally we are lost. Don't you see, people, the seriousness of this? And then maybe we begin to notice, at least I notice, I'm sure you do too, things are happening inside of me. My temper is quick. My attitude is negative. My priorities are confused. My faith is weakened. My self-centeredness is back, and Homer becomes the subject of it all. What's happened? I've drifted. Am I outside of the gate? No, not quite. But powerfully close. We have wandered away from the source of strength. And the personal relationship with God has become impersonal. Now here's the last part. Here's the glorious part. you find yourself in one of those areas, never have been related to the Lord Jesus, you may be here this morning. Belonged at one time, but you walked away, you may be here this morning. A person who is still in the kingdom of God, who trusts Jesus Christ, and certainly is a Christian, but can let it get pretty weak, that relationship, once in a while. You hear? Now, in the middle of this, the scriptures give us this beautiful picture that here comes Jesus. What is he doing? He is seeking the lost. That's gospel. That's the gospel. You want to know what the gospel is? God coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ to confront us with his plan of salvation. I love you. What a picture. God seeks me, I don't seek him. God finds me, I don't find him. The uniqueness of Christianity is this, that God is the one who is after us. All other religions, you have to try to find your way into the presence of God. Not so with Christianity. He seeks us in this blessed word. That's why we need to read it. He's got something to say. What does he say? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Cast all of your cares upon me. I love you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Repent of your sins. And so he goes on and on and on. He even uses a preached word. I become very much aware of that as I ascend this pulpit from Sunday to Sunday. This is not a lecture. This is not the word of homilies. And if it were, you might as well all stay home. I have nothing in and of myself to say. But I know good and well from my ordination vow that what I am to do is to echo the teaching of the word of God, sin and grace, law and gospel, and to be the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ during these moments that I am here. Because behind it all, there is a Savior who's seeking. Seeking someone, seeking all of us this morning. In the dark experiences of life, he comes to us. When the sun was shining and everything was going along so beautifully, we didn't need a Lord. We could do it ourselves. But when the world falls in upon us, here he stands. And he will continue to stand until we breathe our last breath. And he comes to us through the under-shepherd. That is, the person who believes in Jesus Christ and has been commissioned by the Lord to go out and tell the story. That's why I still believe with all the power that is within me that the most important task that we have in this church is evangelism training. To train every believer in Jesus Christ how to share his or her faith so that when you see that lost person and you see them as I have seen them in the past week, that you're able, when they open the door, to confront them with a shepherd, Jesus. The wonder of it all is that he loves us. So we're all in the picture today. If you're lost, that is, if you've never been in a relationship with him, or if you were in a relationship with him and you walked away, here is a plea, people. Here's the appeal. Come home. He wants you. How do you do it? Confess your sins. Place your faith in Jesus. Ask him into your life. And then begin to live with him. And if you don't know how to do that, you call us at the church. We'll come. May not be a preacher. Maybe a good layperson who will come and help you with your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the number one priority of Nazareth Lutheran Church. Everything else is secondary. Everything. Or maybe you're one of these, like I've identified myself, that we almost get lost. Not quite, but almost. What is he saying to you and to me today? I give you 168 hours. And I'm in every single one of those hours, even when you're sleeping. But I want you to know this, that there needs to be some time set aside where I can talk with you and you can talk with me. That's where you get strength. That's where you can believe that I love you. No, it's not hard to believe that there is a God who makes the sun rise and set, but it takes a lot of faith to believe that God knows me and loves me. And that's the wonder of it all. Pastor Kopperman is going to sing George Beverly Shea's gospel hymn. In conclusion, the wonder of it all. Just that God loves me, and he knows my name, and he knows my hurt, and he isn't here to kick me in the teeth. He's here to pick me up and to take me home. That's gospel. Thanks for coming, and may it warm your soul and motivate you in your living during this week. Amen. Give us the faith never to doubt it for a moment. In a very special way, we pray that that may be the message that will bring comfort to those who have particular problems this day, the sick, the shut-in, those who mourn the loss of a loved one, those whose homes are broken. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, we pray, to this marriage, this singles encounter. Grant that with all that is said, it may focus right in this truth. The marvel, the wonder of it all, is that no matter what the past has been, your grace is sufficient and you still love us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. Started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.